through. Since we've been fasting, I've been attacked in various ways. And I guess the good thing is that Satan only attacks people that they know is so strong for God. Well, boy, I must be strong, because two Sundays ago, I had to run out of here because my mother was not well. Then she said she was okay, and we came back, and we went to lunch, and someone hit my car. So everyone was like, oh, it's terrible, and I was like, but I always had something positive to say. I said, thank God we weren't in it, because it was parked. This fenceless and parked, but it was parked. And then we were able to, the diner had some strings, so Tommy was able to patch it so we could drive it home, so that was a blessing. And then my mother can't drive because she's not well, so she gave me her car, so that was a blessing. Then my mother went to the hospital. She was there, and the blessing was is that she got taken care of. My brother actually got to sleep because he wasn't so worried about her. And her roommate was actually from Egypt and was Orthodox Christian. And now I have somebody else to love, because Samia was the cutest person on the face of the earth. And she kind of helped cheer mommy up. And I got to meet Samia. And I got to write. I always do this whenever mommy's in the hospital. Unfortunately, it's more often than not lately. But I always write thank you notes to every single one of her nurses and staff. And I always put God bless you and thank you for what you're doing for my mom. So I actually, through my mother being sick, got to touch about 25 to 30 people. And Abby made cookies, and Tommy, they made cookies, and they gave them to the nurses. So the nurses knew that they were loved. So we actually got to love a lot of other people as she was in the hospital. So, and then Satan decided to give me a sinus infection. But the blessing with that is that there is antibiotics where years ago, people would have died from such a thing, and it's clearing. But, you know, I think what I'm learning is the more Satan attacks me, it just means how much more important to God I am, and that I always have something good to say, even in a bad situation. And a lot of people can't do that because they don't know. They just blame God, and they don't realize it's not God. God's the one fighting for you, and Satan's the one fighting against you. So I guess that's the lesson that I'm learning.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Well, keep seeking the Lord in those things. You know, God is doing some awesome things as we do this. And as my wife shared, we're praying at our house from 7 to 8, and we're seeing actually, while we are praying, prayers are being answered. We find out the next day during those hours. Those kind of things are happening. I know for me personally, it's been amazing. What God has been really doing with me is not major things, but they are in many ways. He's been tweaking areas in my life that might have been 90% there, but they weren't 100% there. You know, I mean, one of the biggest things is I'm not a reader. I don't like to read, especially if it's more than an article length. But by the grace of God and the power of God, I was able to read two books in this week alone. Even though they were small books, but they were still books. You know, but thank God for that. It's that kind of thing that God has been tweaking in my life and making me more in tune of the different things that's going on, not to mention two clear opportunities where people at work approached me and about things of God that I was able to speak into their lives about. So it's just been amazing. Next week, if anything happens, please, again, feel free. And don't wait till next Sunday. If you have something happen, please post it on our Facebook page. Let's rejoice with you in it all. Amen? All right, let's give God glory for his word. Would you raise your Bibles with me? Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you, Lord, that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Can you turn my mic up a little bit more, please? Thank you. This week we're starting a new series called The Kingdom of God. And last week, as you know, Bobby talked and shared in his message about the kingdom of God. And as I prayed this week, the Lord was drawing me back to that. And the thought behind this series was, what are elements or principles of the kingdom of God? So I just started writing down things. Okay, what is the kingdom of God? What is it, what does scripture say about it? You know, what are different themes or elements or principles about the kingdom of God? And today we're going to begin talking about those things a little bit. And Matthew 6:29 says, as Jesus prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're all very familiar with that passage, right? So the question that I wanted to raise is, what thoughts go through your mind when you hear the term the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven? They're interchangeable. What thoughts, I mean, your kingdom come, what in the world do we think about when you think about your kingdom come? Is it some cartoon science fiction thing where a palace in the sky pops up and kind of comes down to earth, or you know, Atlantis being raised from the sea? I mean, what is it? I'm being obviously facetious here, but what is it when we think about the kingdom of God? What thoughts do we go through our mind? Because sometimes we can think so abstract that we forget about the reality of it. And our image sometimes, because of what we see on TV and other things, as I said, might be a visual thing of a palace, you know, King Arthur type thing, but that's not the reality either. So what, how does that work? I mean, just real quick, what are some, if I were to say, what do you think about when you think about the kingdom of God? In one or two word answer, real quick, what do you, what first thing that thought thinks, the first thing that comes to your mind? Love, okay. Peace. Life. And healing. Anything else? Presence, friendship. Okay. Okay. Now, take those things which are all are part of the kingdom of God and take them to your workplace, for example. What would it be like if the kingdom of God came into your workplace or presented itself in the in your workplace? Visualize it. What would it be like? How would things be different at work? How would illness be treated? And sicknesses, how would you deal with that in the workplace? Especially in my workplace where I deal with mental illness. How would that change? I'd be out of a job, hallelujah. How would people be? How would your coworkers be? How would they act? How would you be different in your workplace? Let's make it a little more personal. Would we recognize the kingdom of God if it fell in our church? How would our church be different? How would our homes be different if God's kingdom is fully manifested in our homes? You know, as we sought and prayed over changing what needed to be changed so that we as a church are drawn closer than we've ever been to the presence of God and giving Him reign, true reign, and declaring, Lord, here, right here, let your kingdom come. We've had people say, that's too close to me. It's too close. I want to be able to see it. I don't feel I'm ready to step into it. So think about what would happen if we open ourselves up and allow His kingdom to fully manifest itself. But what is the kingdom of God? What is its meaning, the biblical meaning? Well, the root meaning of the original word that is translated kingdom in our English language means sovereign rule or reign. The sovereign rule or reign. And more correctly translated, the sovereign rule of God. And that's described. Now, what does that mean? What is the definition of the sovereign rule and reign of God? when it comes to the kingdom of God? Well, firstly, it does mean the kingly rule of God. It's a recognition that God is king. We recognize that he is the authority. There's three elements to this, but each one builds on the other one. First one is that he is the authority. The second thing is that it leads to an order or nature of things characteristic to God. In other words, his kingdom is based on his character qualities. So you have his authority, his character, and you can't have his character, understanding of his character, without understanding his authority. And then that leads into the final thing, which then the actual realm or order of things. The order of things, how things operate, how things operate naturally in the spiritual realm of God's reign and rule. So to understand the kingdom of God, we first have to recognize his rule, that he is king, period. And just like leadership, to use plain terms here, I've always said, you know, the church takes on the personality of its pastor. Same thing with the kingdom of God. His kingdom takes on his personality, his character, his authority, his character, then it becomes how things operate within it, the actual realm of his kingdom. How you enter it, or you can enter it, but you cannot enter it apart from recognizing those three things and moving in those three things. You have to be under his authority. You have to understand who he is so you can stay within the realm of that kingdom, and you have to be willing to operate within his realm, the way he does things, his principles, his laws, his precepts, his ways, his grace, how that works. Now, the word kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is mentioned 158 times in the New Testament. 158 times. And that's just in the New Testament. And it refers to a realm or rule of power at walking pace. His kingdom is moving. His kingdom, we're a part of it. It is living. His kingdom is alive. Because why? We're alive. And we're going to get into that. And he's alive in us. Now, why is it important to even talk about the kingdom of God? As just meditating on this, I just found some things that kind of opened my eyes. Number one, it was the kingdom of God that breathed us, the nature of things, into creation. Out of the kingdom of God spawned creation. The Old Testament testifies of the kingdom of God. The first ever sermon, which was done by John the Baptist, was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. Jesus preached the kingdom. Jesus understood the kingdom because he was the Word of God. He understood the character of God. He represented, he was God. He represented the personality and character of God. He understood it. He preached it. He operated in it. Now, those who accused him of not operating in it were ones who did not understand the kingdom of God, but decided to create their own kingdom out of the kingdom of God by their rules and laws. They forgot the law of grace and the law of mercy. Jesus called us to it, to do the same as he did. He called us to enter it, to be a part of it. And Jesus, before he ascended, he commissioned us to preach it. In Acts 1:3, it won't be up there. He says, after he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. He commissioned us about it. It was so important that these were part of his last words on his last few days on earth. Paul talked about it and its power, and James and John wrote about it. And You can read in Revelation, it's all about the kingdom of God. This is why the kingdom of God is so important. It is who we are. It's what we are called to, and we're going to look at that. We're going to look over the next 2 weeks at three specific elements of it. We are to seek it, we are to find it, and we are to enter it. Today we're going to talk about seeking and finding it. Next week we will finish up this part of this with entering it, and then we'll go on to something else with the kingdom of God. But what does it mean, and what is it in reference to when the Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand? Simply put, means it's here. It's drawing near. It's approach. And it's a living to approach. Means it's approach and approaching. It's alive and active, just like the Word of God. It's moving, it's evolving as we are growing and we're manifesting His kingdom within our lives. It's here. You know, we talk about how when we pray and when we have the heart of God, what we're basically doing is we're not telling God as we pray what to do. What we are doing is our hearts are coming in line with what God has already established in heaven, and we're bringing the revelation, the manifestation of what God is doing to earth. I'm a strong believer in the scripture that says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's become my one of those scriptures since I was a teenager that I've held on to. And every time I think about that, what that tells me is when I delight myself in Him, join with Him, His heart is poured into mine. Therefore, the desires of my heart are actually His heart coming forth out of me. It's His desires that He put in me. He realigned my priorities, my goals. So it's Him manifesting those desires through me. It becomes what I want because it's what He has put in me, what He knows I need and I need to do and I need to move in. That's the manifestation of His kingdom coming alive. It's at hand. It's here. And as I grow closer to Him, I am able to manifest His kingdom in my life more and more every day. As I grow closer to Him in my understanding, going back to His characteristics and His authority in who I am, given imparted the authority of to do what I am called to do through Jesus Christ, I'm able to move stronger and bolder in manifesting that authority in His kingdom and kicking the devil out and bringing forth His healing and establishing His kingdom, His presence, His power, His reign, His rule here on earth. So it's a constant evolvement of what His kingdom is as it grows within me. So, first point is, what are we supposed to do with it? Number one, we're supposed to seek His kingdom. Seek it. Matthew 5:3 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Most of us know this verse. Most of us have sang the old Maranatha chorus. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall come. We've sang that song. We've read this verse. It's one of those things most people who grew up in the church like this will remember it. But are we actually living it? Are we manifesting that attitude about seeking the kingdom of God? See, when he says seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, he's talking about a few things. Number one, I go back to that verse, delight yourself in the Lord. Make God first. Seek first. When I open my eyes in the morning, Lord, I'm not putting on these glasses. I'm putting on the lenses of your kingdom. I'm putting on the thoughts of your kingdom. What is it about this day? What is it about this day that I'm supposed to seek you in? What is about this moment? When I get up in the morning, when I wake up in the morning, and it's time, you know, the alarm goes off, and I have to spend time with the Lord, and it's dark, it's cold, it's early. You know what? How I motivate myself is I just start praying. Lord, this is about you. This is the day you've made. I want to seek you first in it. And that gets me out of bed. That's what gets me going. I might be sluggish, but it gets me going. And as I get into his word and get into his presence, it gets me pumped up and it gets me going. His kingdom has to be first in everything I do. What is my motive? What is my heart's desire? It's his kingdom. I'm seeking that kingdom to come to life around me. But here's the thing that we don't think about. We can talk about making God first in everything till we're blue in the face. But what we're missing is realizing that it's in front of us. We're not waiting for the kingdom to come. The kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. That's what this is saying. It's here. Okay? It's at hand. It's available. It's available. I just need to see it. Open my eyes to it. You know, this morning my wife asked me to hand her something, and it's standing literally right in front of me, not even a foot away, and I'm looking everywhere else, and she's like, it's right there. I didn't see it, but it was right there. That doesn't mean it wasn't there. It was available. It's available. I could have reached out and grabbed it. Wouldn't have to use any muscle strength. The kingdom of God is here. We have to recognize it's here, and it's our job to pursue it. How many of us are actively seeking it? How many of us are actually pursuing, chasing after? Remember, we talked about for several weeks pursuing the heart of God, chasing after it, to seek it, to find it in everything. First, Jesus said what he wants us to seek, that he wants us to seek the kingdom, to go search for it, to go ask for it, to look for it. I mean, Matthew 7-8 says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it'll be open. What that's saying is, the inventory is there. It's there. You're not going to put it in an order and you're going to hear from God. It's on back order. We'll send it to you in 2 weeks when it comes in. He's not going to do that. The kingdom of God is here. You seek it, you'll find it. You ask for it, you will receive it, its power, its elements, the reign and rule and authority of God in our lives. It's here for the taking, but why are we not taking it? Why are we not taking it? You know, so many people accept the fact that I get saved, I accept Jesus in my heart, and that's it. They'll go through the motions. They'll even be faithful tithers, giving their 10%. They'll come to church most Sundays. They'll come to work days and other things. But outside of that, are they really seeking the kingdom of God? Are we really seeking it, passionately pursuing his kingdom? You know, we do all this, but have we made inner vows to God, maybe? That, Lord, yes, I will do this. I will accept you as my Savior. I'll make you Lord of my life in this area, but this is mine. I like what I'm doing. I like my habit. You know, my wife and I on Saturday nights watch Susie Orman on Saturday nights, and if we don't watch it, we record it. She's a financial advisor. Not necessarily agree with everything she says, but she knows what she's talking about. Made some good points, and I remember one case study they reviewed yesterday when we were watching it last night. It was a girl from 3 years ago. She had a certain amount of debt. Susie gave her a plan to get out of that debt, and she would have been out of that debt within a year, if not sooner. And it was about $17,000 worth of debt. 3 years later, she did really good. She reduced her debt to about $3,000, and she does have a little bit of other debt, student loans and all that stuff, but she's well underway. But Susie asked her to do one thing, to give up one thing. It was her car and her car payment, which was over $500 a month. She could not part from that car. So that's why she still is in debt to a degree now. If she was willing to submit everything to that plan, she'd be out of debt 100% at this point. Think about that. That's, in a way, what's available to us. But most Christians say, I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll submit this, but I won't. Maybe you don't know how to. Maybe there's an area of your life right now that you don't know how to seek the kingdom of God in right now. Well, guess what? I got great news for you. That's why we're praying. That's why we're fasting. That's why you have your brothers and sisters in here who any time of the day you can call and say, will you pray with me? Will you put this on the prayer chain? Would you show me? Would you walk with me in this? Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what Jesus told us to do, to disciple and to mentor? You don't just open the door and say, I'm in the kingdom without certain things happening. You have to understand who God is, His authority, understand His character and personality, His principles and His ways. And then we live within His rules. We follow those things obediently. And God's people are to know these things and submit themselves to these things, to seek them in everything. Seek first that kingdom in everything. Might sound silly, but those of us at Christmas, did we ask God what His budget is for our Christmas gifts? When we put it on a budget, our monthly budget, did we ask God, how do you want this budget to look like? When we go out with friends, do we say, Lord, go before us. Create beautiful opportunities for your kingdom to be glorified. Or am I just going to, that's good for church, but we're just going to go have fun and laugh and leave God out of it. Just think about the areas in our lives where we are not seeking God's kingdom. And you know what? I want to stop right now and just pray for you right now, real quick. I feel like we need to just pray real quick, and then we'll continue. Lord, right now, just come before you. And Father, on behalf of this body, myself, we repent, Lord. We repent for areas in our lives that we have not submitted to you, that we have not sought your kingdom first in, Lord, that we've stayed lukewarm and have not been passionately chasing after you in it. We repent on the things we've accepted as is. Just like the gentleman yesterday saying, God can't heal me. I'm beyond God's healing. We repent of those inner vows where in those areas we've denied you from. And Lord God, we receive your blessing right now. We receive the outpour of your presence. We receive your kingdom, Lord. We receive spiritual eyes to see your kingdom so that we can chase after it. Chase after you, Lord. We receive, Lord God, your wisdom, Lord God, and your understanding. We receive, Lord God, a heart tender to you that desires to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And all these things shall be added and shall come. In Jesus' name, amen. Second part, so now we seek it. Now we seek it. What do we do with it? There it is. Where to find it? We're not window shopping the kingdom of God. We are entering in, and guess what? The price has already been paid for it. You don't need to take out your checkbook. Jesus already wrote the check. We find it. We find it. Jeremiah, you know this verse, and I love using verses people are familiar with, especially when we get deeper into understanding them. 29, I want to go 11 to 14. Listen to what the Lord says through Jeremiah. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Many Bible versions loosely translated to give you the future you hope for. That's not correct. It's a future and a hope Who's our hope? It's in Christ. It's in his redemption. It's in his restoration. Now, it could be correct, the future you hope for, if you first delight yourself in the Lord and he gives you the desires of your heart for that future, so it's really his future that he's implanted in your heart. Then it is the future that you hope for as you seek his kingdom. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. Don't forget, that's a promise. Just like above, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. He's telling us again, seek me, and guess what? You will find me. You seek his kingdom, you will find it. When you search for me with what? All your heart, with everything, giving it all to God. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. You know what that is? That's your spiritual bondage. I will set you free from the bondage you've been under. I will release you from what has captivated you from fully being able to jump into my kingdom. I shared with you my reading thing. When I prayed, and this week, one of the little things God is tweaking, and I'm just reminded of this now as I'm sharing this message with you. You know, the root cause of that, as I think back now, is that I hated reading because that's all my dad ever did. He never played ball with me. He never did stuff with me that a normal kid would like their parents to do. My dad was a scholar, so all I ever remember of my dad is him studying and reading. So as I grew up, I developed an aversion to reading. Hated it in high school, and I'll now. But as I recognized that root earlier this week and repented of that and asked the Lord to break me free of that captivity, he did. He did. And that's what began now, the new area in my life that I'm learning to seek the kingdom of God in. It's a whole new thing. He will be found, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Everything we struggle with, every area in our lives that we have not sought the kingdom of God in, submitted it to God, there is going to be a root cause there. There will be something where at some point in our lives, it started. Something caused it. In mental health world, we call it a trigger. Something triggered the event, triggered the early warning signs that led to the symptoms that we might deal with years later. What triggered it? I've shared with this body before. I've struggled with depression and low self-confidence and fear of failure all my life. And when my wife and I traced those things back all the way, I failed when I tried out for the 8th grade basketball team. And I went up in the attic and hid in the attic, cried when I knew I was better than most of the people that tried out and should have made the team. And that lie that I accepted about failure, that I'm not good enough and no matter how hard I try, I'll never be good enough, caused me for years, up until 2 years ago when we broke this bondage, where we got down to it, and as my wife and I were praying, and I kept asking the Holy Spirit, where did that come from? Where did it come from? How did this happen? And I was able to trace it back to that point in time. And I repented for allowing that thought to enter into my heart. And I gave that area of my life to the kingdom of God. Some of you have noticed over the last year and a half, I've changed in how I present more confidently messages in worship in every area of my life, making more solid decisions. That's because I'm learning not to be captive to fear like I once was and that insecurity. Why? Because I sought the kingdom of God. I need to keep seeking the kingdom of God. Keep having that kingdom manifest more and more in my life as I seek him in everything. And now, during this time of fasting, one of the things we're doing, and my wife shared about the heightened senses the spiritual and natural. One of my prayers for me has been, Lord, as you're tweaking different areas in my life during this month-long fast, show me. Show me what I'm still captive to. What is still in the way of you manifesting your kingdom fully, me being able to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness in it fully, so I can repent for allowing it to come in at the root, chop it up at the root, and cut it off at the head, and receive the blessing of being the Son of God, to being a co-heir with Christ, to being His authority on earth through His power flowing in me as His kingdom is manifesting within my life. I will be found from you, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to that place from which I cause you to be carried away to captive. That place where He caused me to be away from captive. He didn't. When I make a mistake, when I choose not to submit to God, God takes His hand off of me. And it's at that point that I have to trace back. Where did I cut His hands off of me? What choice did I make in this life? What thought did I allow in my mind? What attitude or words spoken to me did I accept instead of accepting what God says about me? What have I received, and when I should have rejected it and denied God from? That area, let's go back to that beginning place where that root took hold, and to chop it up, cut it down, pull it out. See, we are to find it, and as we are finding His kingdom, we are finding His hope. His hope. Most of you who've been here long enough know my definition of biblical hope. It's expected expectations. It's not I wish, it's I know. It's going, wanting a bike for Christmas, going to the store with mom and dad, picking out that bike, wrapping it with mom and dad, and then sticking it in the closet, knowing you're going to get it Christmas morning. You know it's there. And it's there for you. That hope, that freedom, as I seek His kingdom, I am promised to find it. And when I find it, it comes alive in me. And we will get more into that next week and how we enter His kingdom. But today, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about? What are some root causes that's keeping you from seeking His kingdom first? And then even after you seek it, you're finding it. This is where Christians run into trouble. Oh, I see it. There it is. But that requires discipline. That requires commitment. That requires hard work. That requires I got to change my schedule. That requires I can't handle or hang out with people I used to hang out with. I've had to redefine my friendships. Who's going to grow with me? Those people who are close to me are those who are passionately seeking the Lord. I've decided we made a conscious choice. When we're with people who aren't saved, we're there to minister. That becomes a mission. But when we're among in a friendly setting, we want to be with those that are going to be equally yoked. Where if the Spirit of God falls and turns into a prayer meeting, bam, we're ready to pray. We're ready to worship. We're ready to lay hands. We're ready to heal. We're ready to see God break through. We're ready to get into the Word of God and give God glory. This is where Christians have a hard time. They see it. It's there. They go to take it and they pull their hand back. Or they'll reach and they'll kind of squeeze it for a little bit where they do good for a couple of weeks. Kind of like when you make a New Year's resolution to go to the gym at the beginning of January. After 2 weeks, you're tired, and you're done, and you're achy. They do good for a while, but then all of a sudden, they don't press forward. They don't try. The enemy fights back, and little by little, it's not major steps they take. It's little bit, little baby, inch by inch. I'll not do that today. I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow comes. I'll do it tomorrow, and so forth. You start slowly backing away. What is the Holy Spirit telling you right now? Lord God, would you bow your heads with me right now? Holy Spirit, bring a revelation right now of the root of what we are dealing with right now. Reveal to us, each one of us here in this room, what is the root that needs to be cut off right now that's keeping us from seeking you, kingdom, in our lives, and finding it and taking it. Bring that revelation, Lord. Bring that revelation right now. Bring that revelation, Holy Spirit.